Próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes.
Listening to the International Radio Report. Your reactions are much appreciated. Feel free to send them to radioreport@yahoo.com. That is radioreport@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Welcome everyone to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM. It is Sunday, August the 8th. And we thank you for joining us. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We have 617 members there. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/International Radio Report, where we have 411 subscribers. We invite all of you to check in and join the Facebook group, sign up for the YouTube channel. You can listen to the shows anytime you like by going to the YouTube archives of past programs. We have quite a bit of information to present to you today. My name is Sheldon. I'm here with Jill, as usual. And we want to get things started with a couple stories related to CBC and Radio Canada International. The first is a celebration that's going on in Saskatchewan related to CBC Radio 1. And it comes from a CBC news story. CBC Radio 1 celebrates 82nd year of broadcasting across Saskatchewan. And this week, CBC Radio 1 is celebrating the 82nd year of broadcasting on CBK AM 540 kilohertz. Everyone has an origin story. The story of CBC Radio 1 in Saskatchewan begins in the town of Watrous. There, CBK AM's CBC Pioneer Western radio station opened in 1939 using 540 kilohertz on the medium wave band and a 50,000 watt transmitter. When CBC looked to expand into Saskatchewan, it chose Watrous, about 150 kilometers or 90 miles northwest of Regina, and about 100 kilometers or 60 miles southeast of Saskatoon, because the town's soil had impressive conductivity elements due to the Manitou Springs. The town is also a solid central location in the province. These two elements help CBK's signal reach as far west as the Alberta Rockies, as far east as Winnipeg, and as far south as Montana on a clear night. A state-of-the-art tower with an impressive 50,000-watt range and an Art Deco station building were built. The station officially launched on July the 29th, 1939. The transmission tower was massive for its time, and the CBK building was said to be impressive by many visitors. The Art Deco-styled building had a fallout shelter in 1964, large transmitters, and a giant map on its floor. The map was cut out of linoleum into the floor and had every radio station in Canada at the time marked on it. Orrin McIntosh was a long-serving technician for CBK in Watrous. Although he was instrumental in helping to ensure the signal was broadcast clear from 1939 onward, disaster struck in 1976. On the night of June 4th, a severe storm rolled into town and brought with it winds reaching over 100 miles per hour. The next morning, for the first time in its history, CBK in Watrous went silent when the tower crumpled. The site was rebuilt and service restored. Due to structural issues and asbestos problems, the Art Deco building had to be demolished in 2015. However, many of the artifacts and memories remain courtesy of the Watrous Manitou Beach Heritage Center. And that station still broadcasts today. It does get out quite well. I know some people in Eastern Canada have picked it up. There's not a lot of stations on 540 kilohertz. So depending on where you are with a 50,000 watt omnidirectional signal out of the station, you might have a good shot at hearing it. I've tried for it here in Montreal. I've not been able to pick it up myself, but I know a number of people who have in the past when conditions are right.
It's one of those things you got to try regularly, and one day you are lucky and it's there. It must have been amazing to see all of this when it was constructed and when they started. And I guess it would probably be nice to see all those artifacts and memories that they kept. So it's really nice. You know, thinking when I hear radio stories and you talk about radio stories that are in like the 1920s and the 1930s, it's just amazing when you think about it.
For our international listeners who don't, you know, may not know a whole lot about Saskatchewan, the central province of Canada is pretty sparsely populated. And for obvious reasons, you know, a lot of stations on medium wave have disappeared. They've been replaced by FM translators. But this was a station that was covering wide expanse of territory where there weren't a lot of people and not a lot of other radio stations. So it's one of the CBC clear channels that's remained on the air and does still to this day cover a lot of territory. They do have relays on FM in a number of the cities around the area, but that one solid signal still exists out there on 540 sitting out in the middle of the prairies. So, kind of a neat story. And, 82 years is certainly a great record,
yep.
Even with that that minor shutdown that they had in 1976. That must have been something with that tower coming down at that point.
Oh, for sure.
Pretty wild story. Our other CBC story, though, is also related to historical radio in Canada. And it comes from two DXers that we know out in Victoria, BC, Robert and Colin Newell. The headline is CBC Radio Canada Master Recordings are looking for a curator. And it was Robert that sent this message around to some of the DX and radio clubs. He says, I have a fairly large but manageable collection of reel-to-reel CBC masters of Radio Canada International programming from the 1970s and the 1980s that will need a home one day. I'm looking for a younger-than-me curator that might want to keep, cherish, remaster these classics for future listeners. I have digitally transferred most, if not all, of these recordings that may once again be available for download at some point. In the meantime, I'd be willing to ship at no charge to the future curator and provide they demonstrate a willingness to hold on to and care for them for a while. So this caught my attention right away, being Radio Canada International Recordings, and I immediately got in touch with Wojtek Viazda, former programmer, producer at RCI, who lives here in Montreal and has a very strong attachment to RCI. So he's away on vacation right now, but he saw the email and he immediately got back to me and he said, yeah, get in touch with them and let them know, we're interested. So we'll be getting in touch with Colin and Robert shortly. And I think Wojtek is going to try to find a place for these reel-to-reel recordings to live out, an extended life and not have them disappear into a trash bin somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, this is a huge piece of radio history, and somebody's got to take care of that for sure. I mean, it's getting more and more difficult to have older recordings of any type of radio broadcasts. So it's important to keep this, and I hope that they find a suitable home where they're going to be taken care of.
And they do need to be taken care of because yes. Magnetic tape, reel-to-reel tape, can seriously deteriorate if not taken care of properly.
Absolutely. So the NAB announces Marconi Radio Award finalists. This is by Paul McLean of Radio World. The National Association of Broadcasters released the list of finalists for the 2021 NAB Marconi Radio Awards. The awards honor stations, managers, and on-air personalities for excellence in broadcasting. Winners will be announced at the Fall Radio Show in Las Vegas in October. Some of this year's NAB Marconi Radio Awards finalists are, and we've got a small look at it here, but there's a much more extensive look at the links we'll be posting on the Facebook group. Legendary Station of the Year, WNCX-FM Cleveland, Ohio, WSBAM Atlanta, Georgia, KIIS-FM Los Angeles, California, KYGO-FM Denver, Colorado, WHUR-FM in Washington, D.C. Major Market Station of the Year, WQHT-FM New York, New York, WKYS-FM Washington, D.C., WBZ-FM Boston, Massachusetts, KYWN-AM Philadelphia, WINS-AM New York. Large Market Station of the Year, KTMY-FM Minneapolis, St. Paul, WALK-FM Long Island, New York, WTMJ-AM Milwaukee, WVKL-FM in Norfolk, Virginia, WKRQ-FM Cincinnati, Ohio. News Talk Station of the Year, WSBAM in Atlanta, WTOP-FM Washington, D.C., KSSZ-FM Columbia, Missouri, WLW-AM Cincinnati, Ohio, and KNX-AM in Los Angeles, California. So these are just a few of the much bigger list of stations, but it's nice to see that some of these well-known stations, there's a lot of well-known stations and just what we just talked about. Nice to see that, you know, they're getting awards.
Yeah, the list that you'll see posted on our Facebook page includes different types of awards, too, not just for stations, but for personalities, for radio genres of stations as well. Like there's a new, like we talked about News Talk Station, there's adult contemporary music, rock stations, country stations. There's a whole list of different categories. We just thought we'd pull out some of the major ones that do include some AM stations. And you'll notice there were a lot of FM stations on there. Yeah. But there are some of these heritage stations on AM that have wide coverage that are being recognized for the service that they perform. So check out the full list, and we'll have the award winners announced in October. Next, we move to something that our older listeners out there will probably appreciate more than the younger ones who may not have a clue what we're talking about here. But I saw this story and I thought it would be interesting to put out there. The headline is via Radio World, Let's Talk to Lucy Archives, airing on SiriusXM and then as a podcast. In 1964, Lucille Ball was starring in her second hit CBS sitcom, The Lucy Show, while serving as chief executive of Desilu Productions, the largest independent TV production company in Hollywood at the time. But the comic actress, whose legacy was already solidified by the wildly popular I Love Lucy show, still found time to do a daily 10-minute radio program for the CBS radio network called Let's Talk to Lucy. Using her own portable reel-to-reel tape recorder, Ball sat and chatted with the biggest stars in show business at the time, many of whom were her friends. On Thursday of this week, all 240 episodes of Let's Talk to Lucy began airing on a SiriusXM satellite radio pop-up channel, the first time they have been publicly available since airing on the radio. After a limited 3-week run, the shows will be presented as podcasts that can be downloaded or streamed through the SXM app, through Stitcher, Pandora, and other platforms. The Cache of Shows features conversations with major stars of the era, including Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Mary Tyler Moore, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Barbara Streisand, and behind-the-scenes figures such as the costume designer Edith Head and makeup artist Hal King. The Let's Talk to Lucy tape surfaced during research for the documentary, according to Lucille Ball's daughter, Lucy Arnaz. Arnaz has managed the archives of her mother and father since their deaths more than 30 years ago, digging through garages, basements, and storage facilities on both coasts. The tapes were never lost, but until recently, Arnaz never thought there would be a market for them. The program was quickly snapped up by SiriusXM, which will present them on channel 104 before making them available in podcast form. So pretty neat stuff for people who remember the I Love Lucy show going back into the 50s and Here's Lucy after that and a number of other programs that she was involved in. An interesting chance to hear some conversations between her and other pretty well-known stars of the day. So I'd certainly never heard of anything about this before, so it might be kind of fun to listen to them. Again, reel-to-reel recordings that were hopefully kept in a safe place, and her daughter was able to dig those up, and Sirius grabbed them up. So you can start listening to them now if you have SiriusXM. They're on channel 104, and then afterwards they'll appear via podcasts.
It's interesting because, I mean, I've seen the, you know, I Love Lucy reruns that were there for so many years and different networks. But I also didn't know at all that there was this CBS Radio Network show called Let's Talk to Lucy. I never heard about that. So what's happening in the sun? Well, the sun is a little more active than it was last week when it was really quiet. Three sunspot groups are right now on the solar surface as we are doing the show. There's another region that apparently is going to be rotating into view. But they are quiet. The sun hasn't really done much, you know, no solar flares, no major events happening. There's been a little bit of solar wind brushing against the geomagnetic field this week that created some unsettled conditions for a few days. And it was showing it degraded shortwave propagation a little bit. There's a report released this week that was talking about how our solar cycle is actually rising much faster than anticipated. And that means that maybe we're going to have the peak of the solar cycle arrive 1 year earlier than expected. They were expecting it mostly like 2025. It could actually arrive as early as 2024, according to some reports, because it's really rising faster. So this is interesting, and we'll see how big of a peak that's going to be. There is a coronal hole that is going to have a little effect on the 8th of August with some solar wind affecting our planet. For the rest, solar flux is low, around 74, 75, but propagation is still good in general. And the way to know is to turn on the radio and listen.
Hey, IRRR listeners, there's another program, World of Radio, now well over 2,000 weekly editions, with multiple broadcasts on two major shortwave stations in the U.S., WRMI and WBCQ. Also IRRS in Europe and Unique Radio in Australia. There are several chances to hear me, Glenn Hauser, on Sunday evenings, among others, and podcasts on demand. Full schedule info plus loads of other material, especially about shortwave, at worldofradio.com.
We've got also some interesting news, some sad news for those that are long wave beacon chasers. We've got some news from on the Glenn Hauser group. So William Hepburn, which is a guy that maintains a really nice list of non-directional beacons on long wave, on his website that's available at dxinfocenter.com/ndb. This, he's highlighted in red, 28 Canadian longwave beacons that will be decommissioned this week. Apparently, it's going to happen on August the 12th. So you have a few days left. If you want to try out the beacons, we actually have posted the list of the beacons in the different Facebook groups. And the one that is one that I use all the time to check radios for long wave performance, 248, the UL non-directional beacon here in Montreal, is going to be one of them that's going to leave. So this is sad, and it's time to DX for the next few days, try to get these non-directional beacons, because 28 are going to leave the air on August 12th.
Yeah, if you're in a quiet location and don't have a lot of interference on long wave, you may want to check these out. You'll need CW skills to decode the call letters, or if you have a decoding program, you can use that to help you identify the stations. So we've put the list, as you'll set up, on our Facebook page for the show, and also on the CIDX page and on the official SWL channel page as well.
So there's a sad story. DocuFunk Archive founder Wolf Harrens, OE1WHC, is a silent key. This is by Tom Kemp, DF6KL, via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. IARU Region 1 reports the passing of Wolf Harrens, the founder of the DocuFunk Archive, which aims to collect, save, research, and present whatever relates to the history of radio communications, particularly amateur radio and broadcasting. The IARU R1 posts reads, "We are saddened by the news of the death of Wolf Harrens, OE1WHC, who passed away on August the 3rd after a short, serious illness shortly before his 80th birthday. Many will know Wolf from his work at Radio Österreich International, which is Radio Austria International, from the Kurzwellen Panorama, or a show in English that was quite popular called the Shortwave Panorama, the program for shortwave listeners. Later, it was called Media Panorama. Finally, Intermedia. All of them a must for shortwave listeners and radio amateurs. Wolf offered a lot of thoughtful material in his own critical but pleasant way. Wolf was also the founder of the nonprofit Viennese Documentation Archive for research into the history of radio and electronic media. International Curatorium QSL Collection, abbreviated DocuFunk Archive. What started as a QSL card collection is now a considerable archive on the history of radio and the amateur radio service, with many contemporary historical documents. According to Wikipedia, the archive now holds about 6 million items, including 1,500 bicquels, making it the world's largest institution with archival records and collections of any kind on the history of radio, with a focus on broadcasting and amateur radio. The holdings are accessible free of charge and are constantly being added to." He was also a recipient of the Roy Stevens G2BVN Memorial Award in 2017, the IARU Region 1's highest recognition for excellence in amateur radio, for his decades of effort and work on the DocuFunk Archive. So this is really nice. I did not know that this existed, and we'll have to take a look. Sad that he passed away, unfortunately. But I think a lot of people that have been listening to shortwave, the shortwave panorama from Radio Austria and all of that, is one of those memories we have from the good old days of shortwave radio.
Seems to be a bit of a theme on our program today of protecting and saving archives and the history of radio. We'll definitely, let's hope that there's somebody picking up the ball with this as well and maintaining it and making sure that it continues to be out there and hopefully adding to it as we move forward.
Definitely. This is something we need to keep. Once again, radio history.
Some of you may have been watching the Olympic Games from Tokyo over the last couple of weeks. We have an amateur radio-related story to this from Southgate Amateur Radio. JA1 Tokyo is on the air. It started on July the 16th. JARL opened a special commemorative station, JA1 Tokyo, in Tokyo to commemorate the 2020 Olympic and Paralympic Games being held from July the 23rd. After the opening ceremony of JA1 Tokyo, an operator in charge was assigned to each band for active operation, and the station will remain active until September the 5th. So you can check that one out. Not an easy country to hear for us Western Hemisphere, but you never know. Watch the spotting networks. You might see it out there, and if propagation is good, you might have a shot at it.
Yep, that can be a cool station to try to catch. I will keep an eye for that for sure. So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
We start with the Worked All Europe DX contest, the CW portion, August 14th, 0:00 to August 15th, 23:59, sponsored by the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club, CW only, 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz bands. It's open to amateurs worldwide, and we have the link posted up.
We have the QRP-ARCI European Sprint, 08 Zulu to 1100 Zulu, August 14th, sponsored by the QRP Amateur Radio Club International. Mode is CW, QRP only, which is low power. Bands 160 through 10 meters, no warp bands.
We have a QSO party going on next weekend. It is the Maryland DC, or District of Columbia QSO party, 1400 Zulu August 14th to 0400 Zulu August 15th, sponsored by the Anne Arundel Radio Club. The modes, pretty much all modes, phone, CW, and digital, any digital modes such as PSK31, radio teletype, FT8, and FT4. The bands, contacts on warp bands and 60-meter band are not permitted. All other bands may be used, including HF, also VHF, and UHF. So this is a pretty wide coverage event going on.
And last, there's the NJQRP Skeeter Hunt, which is 17 Zulu to 21 Zulu, August 15th, sponsored by the New Jersey QRP Club. The NJ QRP Club is announcing the 10th annual Skeeter Hunt. The objective is to get QRPers out of their shacks for the day and into the fresh air and sunshine to spread their wings and fill the airwaves with skeeters. So this is low power once again. Mode CW and SSB, power 5 watts max on CW, 10 watts maximum on SSB, and it's 80 through 10 meters.
So lots of things for you to check out on the radio, lots of things for you to check out on our links, on our Facebook page and on our YouTube channel. You can listen to the show again if you want to get any notes, and go check out those beacons while you still have a chance. August 12th, they will be decommissioned. So if you want to log them, now is the time to do it.
Yep, 28 Canadian beacons. It's time to do this.
That will do it for this week. We thank you for tuning in. You can catch the show again, as I said, on our YouTube channel, International Radio Report. And do consider joining our Facebook group, International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Radio Autrice Internationale.
Radio Austria Internationale.
Radio Österreich International.
Radio Austria International.
Radio Tris International.
Radio Austria International.
Radio Österreich International.
Radio Austria International.
Radio Austria International presents Report from Austria today with Elizabeth Blaine.
Austria's musical summer offers lakeside festivals, festivals in the mountains, the impeccable, unimpeachable Brandl Damla festivals in Salzburg, and a series of programs in the Austrian capital utilizing its fine old palaces and special points of interest.
We focus on an especially interesting musical summer program right after the news.
Presented by Murray Hall. British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, currently in Austria on an unofficial visit, held informal talks with Chancellor Franz Vranitzky Tuesday after the two leaders attended a concert at the Salzburg Festival. Their discussions at a lakeside hotel outside Salzburg were reported to have dealt with Austria's application to join the European community and developments in the neighboring East Bloc. Mrs. Thatcher arrived in Salzburg for a private holiday on August 10th.
CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. No boundaries. Feel alive.